Open your Bible to Psalm 17, please. It's a long psalm, but I'm going to read the whole thing. I want you to remember as we read, as I read, that this is a psalm of David. David lived about a thousand years before Christ. So, in other words, about 3,000 years ago. But human nature has not changed. And the gospel has not changed. The good news of God's saving love in Christ. God's, as the Old Testament would say, as Psalms, as David says in this prayer, God's steadfast love has not changed. So hear the word of God, Psalm 17, a prayer of David. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From your presence let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you will find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. With regard to the works of man, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love. O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries, at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies who surround me, they close their hearts to pity. With their mouths they speak arrogantly. They have now surrounded our steps. They have set their eyes to cast us to the ground. He is like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life. You fill their womb with treasure. They are satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their infants. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me now for prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Psalm 17 is titled A Prayer of David. David is crying out to God because he's been wronged. He's been falsely accused. He's been misunderstood. He's apparently in grave danger. Now, we don't know the exact context of Psalm 17. Maybe David wrote it when he was a young man. And remember, David had been anointed to become the king of Israel when Saul was already king. And Saul became jealous and tried to kill David. David had to flee from Saul. So that might be the context. It might be later in David's life when David's own son, Absalom, led a rebellion against him, resulted in civil war, and Absalom was out to kill David and was slandering him. Whatever the situation, David has been misunderstood, he's been falsely accused, and someone's out to get him. He's in danger. Let me ask you, have you ever been falsely accused? Have you ever been misunderstood? Have you ever had people jump to a conclusion about you based on very limited evidence? Have you ever been in fear of what someone might do because they're extremely angry with you? Well, let me go ahead and answer for you, yes and yes and yes and yes. Because we're all fallen, and we all, in our fallenness, jump to conclusions about one another, don't we? And we all falsely judge others because we're fallen, and we get falsely judged by others because they're fallen. In this psalm, David has been falsely accused, so that's the focus that we're going to take today. How to respond when you've been falsely accused, when somebody makes a false and wrong assumption about you and writes you off and devalues you because they made an assumption that's false. When that happens, oh, by the way, first let me say, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was a great British preacher of the gospel in the 19th century, he once said, "If any man thinks ill of you, do not be angry with him, for you are far worse than he thinks you to be." But when that happens, when we're falsely accused, we want to cry out. We need to cry out. And the course of our lives will be determined by who we cry to. And as I often like to say in my sermons, if you get that, you get the whole thing, but please keep listening. The course of our lives will be determined by who we need to cry out, but the course of our lives will be determined by who we cry to. David, a man after God's own heart, cried out to God. Listen again to the first verse of David's prayer. "Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit." David cried out to the Lord in prayer. If your cry is not a prayer but a complaint, you'll find yourself with other complainers because misery loves company. and your heart will grow discouraged and bitter. If you cry out to people, complain to other people instead of God, you will be asking those people to do what only God can do. And you will be asking those people, and they will feel overwhelmed and unable, and you will only grow more desperate. If you silence your cry, crying only to yourself, you'll feel increasingly alone and isolated and trapped in your unhappiness. The good news of the gospel is that you don't need to muffle your cries. You don't have to be ashamed that you have a reason to cry out. And you surely don't have to feel that God is too great, too grand, too far off, and too busy with other important things to listen to you. You're his child. God is always ready to listen to you. I really believe that one of the reasons the book of Psalms is in God's word is to give us the courage to cry out to God. The book of Psalms models prayer for us. It teaches. It's the prayer book of the Bible. It's designed, inspired, to give us the courage and to tell us how to cry out to God. Listen to a small sampling of the Psalms. Psalm 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising up against me. Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Psalm 22, this is the one Jesus quoted on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 42, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O Lord. And David began the prayer of Psalm 17, hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my prayer. We're encouraged in this psalm to cry out to the one who will never turn a deaf ear to us. And he's also the one who has the power to work in our hearts and work in our relationships to meet our need. When David says, give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit, David is not claiming that he has no sin. David knew he was a sinner. Psalm 51, David says, I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. David knew full well that he was a sinner. But he's crying out to God in Psalm 17. Because in this instance, he's innocent. He's being falsely accused. He's being attacked unfairly. In verses 7 and 8, David appeals to God, wondrously show your steadfast love. Whenever the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, whenever the Bible uses that phrase, steadfast, the steadfast love of the Lord. Remember, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. That is always the language of the covenant that God made with his people, Israel. the covenant that God made with David, that God would be David's God, and David's descendants would be on the throne of Israel forever. Wondrously show your steadfast love. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Did you know that that phrase comes from the Bible, the apple of your eye? The apple of your eye, let me show you. The apple of your eye is the pupil, right? Your pupil, you got two of them. Your pupil is the most sensitive part of your body, and it is one of the most carefully protected parts of your body. The fastest human reflex is the blink. Faster than any other reflex in the body. When a foreign object is coming at your eye, it triggers a reflex. It's not even conscious. And your eyes instantly close. David is saying, protect me, Lord. Protect me like the... Make me precious like the apple of your eye and protect me. In verses 10 and 12, David describes the threat. They close their hearts to pity. With their mouths, they speak arrogantly. And then in verse 12, his adversary, David says, he is like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. Now, you know that a lion is at the top of the food chain. He is a very strong animal, and he has big teeth. Well, I should say she has big teeth, because as you may know, in a lion pride, the females do all the hunting, and the guys just lay around in the sun and wait for the ladies to bring them their meal. But David says he is like a lion ready to tear. A lion is a vicious animal. They prey on the weak, on the very young and the very old, and they take pleasure. They're like wolves. They take pleasure in killing. Now, we like to think, don't we? We like to imagine that nobody else's opinion about us can ever affect our heart, right? We like to think that. Oh, yeah, if somebody thinks ill of me, it'll just bounce right off. No. We like to think that other people don't have power over us, but they do. Without realizing it, we put our identity and our inner peace in the hands of flawed human beings. We look to other people for what no flawed human being will ever be able to deliver. We ride the roller coaster of other people's views of us. We even begin to do things not because they're right, but because other people have expected it of us. And we do things not because they're right, but in order to please others, don't we? Fear of man is a bigger motivation for many of us, and maybe for all of us, than we would like to admit. But brothers and sisters, the gospel of Jesus Christ will free us from this. We'll lapse back into it, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is intended to free us from the opinions of others. First, the gospel gives us the only reliable standard of self-evaluation. The evaluation of, I'm not just pointing at you, I'm pointing at me. The evaluation of fallen human beings will not be accurate. Only the mirror of God's word gives us a true evaluation of ourselves. When I find my identity vertically in God, in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, when I find my identity vertically, then I'm not vulnerable to horizontal opinions coming at me from those around me. I know that I am loved. David knew that he was loved, the steadfast love of the Lord. I know that I am loved by him and precious to him. I want you to know that too. You are loved by God. You are precious to him. You are the apple of his eye. The gospel of Jesus Christ also allows us and me to be approachable when people need to speak hard truth to us. Getting my identity vertically does not mean that I never have to pay attention to you. The gospel of Jesus Christ allows me to be approachable when people speak hard truth to me. I don't like things that I don't like hearing, but I need to hear. I can do this because I know that I'm a sinner and I know that I'm saved by the grace of Jesus that is greater than all of my sin. And finally, I'm not worried or haunted by what you think of me, and I don't want you to be frightened or haunted by what I think of you or what others think of you. Because I don't look to you for my inner sense of well-being. And your trust in Jesus, look to him for your inner sense of well-being, not to those around you. No matter how little I am appreciated by others, no matter how little I am loved, no matter how little respect comes my way, I can lay my head on my pillow at night in peace, knowing that the one person who matters, the one person who matters, loves me with an everlasting love and will not let me go. Do you know that? Do you know that today? Claim that truth today. Surrender your life to Jesus, and you will have that assurance. And that's the truth, that's the resolution that David finally comes to at the end of his prayer. Psalm 17 is very similar to a lot of other psalms. There's a wrestling with God throughout the psalm. And by the way, God loves wrestlers. God loves people who are willing to wrestle with him in prayer. And the Psalms show the way. Don't be shy. God loves wrestlers. But then, at the end of the Psalm, David comes to a resolution. Listen, well, in verse 13, he says, "Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword." In other words, Lord, I'm not going to try to handle this myself. I'm looking to you to deliver me. I'm looking to you to vindicate me. And then in verse 14, "Deliver me from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life." In other words, deliver me from those who don't trust you, who think that this world is all that there is. And then in the middle of verse 14, there's a strange line. "You, Lord, fill their womb with treasure." What does that mean? "They are satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their infants." Now, the Bible says that children are a gift from the Lord, and they are. I know that those who are parents here, there were times when you doubted that, but children are a gift from the Lord. But what David is indicating here, when he says, "Lord, you fill their womb with treasure." In other words, when a baby is conceived, that's a treasure. "They are satisfied with children and leave their abundance to their infants." What David is saying, there are those who think that their fulfillment, their eternal life, is going to come through their offspring. That's their only hope of eternal life, that they will leave behind a heritage. "But as for me," says David in the last verse, "as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness." When you and I place our faith in Jesus Christ, we have the certain assurance that one day, we will see him face to face. What a wonderful day that will be. When that day comes, all of the unfairness, all of the hurts, all of the false accusations of this life will melt away. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you know today that you are more sinful and broken than you ever dared believe. And you are more loved and accepted than you ever dared hope. And you will one day see him face to face. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Oh Lord, sustain us until that day when we see you face to face. Lord, in this world, we will be falsely accused, and we will falsely accuse others. Lord, give us grace to confess to you and to others when we are wrong, when we have sinned against others. And Lord Jesus, give us grace when we are falsely accused, when we are slandered, when we are attacked, to take it to you and find our peace in you, to find our resolution in you. And then we can be reconciled to brothers and sisters. And we thank you for the promise that we are the apple of your eye, and you have showered on us, filled us with your steadfast love, and you will never let us go. In Jesus' name, amen.